Intelligent Transportation Systems Podcast. Happy New Year to all of you. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to the ITS Podcast. I'm Javier Sánchez Medina from the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society. We want to start the new year with a brand new episode ready for you. Prepare for a selected auditorium. Thanks for being there. For this chapter, we have interviewed Professor Leopoldo Acosta from University of La Laguna in Spain about their intelligent vehicle, Verdino. That is not the usual intelligent vehicle for roads. Instead, it is a platform developed to operate in unstructured zones like pedestrian zones. So it has to deal with humans in a closer than usual way for intelligent vehicles. Don't miss it, it's very interesting. We also have our usual news mini section by Mariam Kaveshgar with some very interesting news and the transportation history by Mehran Shirazi. Have you ever wondered why is it red, green or amber? Well, you'll hear the answer soon. Let's start, but first we still have a few more holiday gifts for our listeners. So if you haven't reclaimed yours, please send us an email to itsspodcast@gmail.com with the following text in its subject. I am an ITS podcast listener. I want my holidays gift. Hurry up, there's only a few more. Okay, let's go now with the news mini section. Enjoy.
This is the news mini section for episode 32, January 2016, by Mariam Kaveshgar. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to everyone. In the last months of the year 2015, Google was granted two patents for its self-driving car. The first is for the changes made to the interior design, and the second is related to the outdoor speakers and the flashing screens. The first patent with regard to the interior is a huge touchscreen display on the dashboard and a control panel in between the seats. No more steering wheel, no more gas and brake pedals, no more shift stick. The second patent is for the array of speakers and screens allowing the car to interact with cyclists and pedestrians. The car can speak out, "It is safe to go." However, it's worth a mention that recently the Google car was pulled over by the traffic police because it was going too slow. This happened near their headquarters at Mountain View. It was doing 24 miles per hour. Google cars have a safety speed limit of 25 miles per hour. That makes it a bit problematic while they are driving on busy roads. One of the companies which has become active in automated vehicles R&D is Amazon. It has filed a patent application by the name of Sense and Avoid for automated mobile vehicles. Their system has a body and a group of motors. This system can be incorporated on the air, water or ground-based vehicles. Let me remind you that the 2016 IEEE Intelligent Vehicle Symposium IV2016 has just opened its submissions site at its.papercept.net, that is www.its.papercept.net. Don't forget to renew your ITSS membership to receive the first transactions on intelligent vehicles published this January. I wish a peaceful year for around the globe and a prosperous year for the researchers in the field of ITS.
Transportation in History by Mehran Shirazi, PhD candidate at Simon Fraser University, Canada. History of color scheme for traffic lights. Have you ever wondered what the origin of the red, amber, or yellow and green color scheme for traffic light is? That's what we are going to talk about today. The origin of this color scheme goes back to railroad industry in the early 19th century. At this time, railroad companies used different colored lights to let train engineers know when to stop or go. Red had been used for hundreds of years to indicate danger. Therefore, it was used for stop. White was selected for go, and green was the color for caution. The choice of white light for go caused lots of problems. For example, In 1914, a red lens fell out of its holder, leaving the white light behind it exposed. This ended a train crashing into another one. Thus, railroad companies decided to change the go sign to green. In order to choose the caution color, they looked for a distinct color from red and green. Yellow was selected at the end. You might think this system was transferred to streets after cars were invented. However, this happened years earlier. In London, England, 1865, there was a growing concern over the amount of horse-drawn traffic causing danger to pedestrians trying to cross the roads. A railway engineer named John Knight used a similar semaphore-lighted system for road traffic. In the daytime, the semaphore method used an arm that could be raised or lowered by a police officer, notifying carriages when they should stop. At night, his system used the red and green colors to indicate the same type of thing, again traditional to railroads. This system worked extremely well, but just for 1 month. That's when one of the gas lines that supplied the lights began to leak. Unfortunately, the policeman who was operating the arm was unaware of the leak and ended up being severely burned when the lamp exploded. The system was immediately removed from the streets. In the United States, in the 1910s and 1920s, towers allowed police officers to have a better view of the traffic. The officers used green and red lights to let traffic know when to stop or go. In Detroit, Michigan, in 1920, a policeman named William L. Potts invented the four-way, three-color traffic signal using all three of the colors then used in the railroad systems. This was the first time this scheme was used to control road traffic. However, it needed a person to push a button or flip a switch to change the light. As you might expect, this manpower-intensive way to change the lights proved costly. In the late 1920s, several automatic signals were invented. The first ones used the simple method of changing the lights at specific timed intervals. However, the drawback of having some vehicles stopped when there were no cars going in the other direction annoyed people. An inventor named Charles Adler Jr. had an idea to get around this problem. He invented a signal that could detect a vehicle's horn honking. A microphone was mounted on a pole at the intersection, and once the vehicle stopped, all they need to do is to honk their horn, and the light would change. Presumably, this system was incredibly annoying to people walking by and to nearby homes and businesses. A less annoying automatic signal was invented by Henry A. Howe. This system used two metal strips that sensed pressure and changed the light color based on the presence of the cars. Finally, in 1935, the Federal Highway Administration created the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. This document set uniform standards for all traffic signals and road signs. So next time, when you are waiting behind a red light, instead of getting frustrated, you can be happy that cars do not need their horns honked anymore every time they want to pass an intersection.
Hello again! It is now time to start with the interview with Professor Acosta. We hope you like it. Today we are with Leopoldo Acosta Sánchez. Dr. Leopoldo Acosta is a full professor at the University of La Laguna, Spain. For more than 25 years, he has been a very active researcher in robotics in general and automotive vehicles in particular. He has been involved in approximately 15 competitive research grants and 10 private research projects, gathering funds close to 1.5 million euro. He is also co-author of more than 70 journal papers and research book chapters and more than 80 international conference papers. Today he is with us because he is the founder and leader of a very well-known project in the automated driving field, Verdino, an automated vehicle meant to operate in urban and unstructured areas with pedestrians, currently being supported with national funds under the so-called Stirpe project, along with funds from the European Union to support regional development, and also from the regional government of the Canary Islands, thanks to its research agency, ACIISI. During the recent IEEE 18th International Conference on Intelligent Transportation Systems, his team deployed a fascinating demonstration with the project Verdino. Hello, Professor! Thanks for accepting our invitation. Welcome! Professor, can you please better introduce yourself and your team to our audience?
Hello, Javier. First of all, I'm very pleased to be here today attending your invitation. I think you have made a very detailed introduction, but to point out more details, currently I am the Dean of the Engineering and Technology School of the University of La Laguna, and the leader of the robotics group, which we call GRULL, G-R-U-L-L, along with my responsibilities with the institution and with my students, I try to do some research in the autonomous robotics field, as you have said. Thankfully, my team is composed by very skilled people that are able to work on their own when my other responsibilities take most of my time.
Professor, can you please explain about Verdino and the Stirpe project?
The Stirpe project aims to produce an autonomous robotic prototype designed for people transportation in different environments such as pedestrian street or touristic resort without the need of a driver. Contrary to other research centers, we don't expect our robot to navigate along human-driven vehicles, but rather among pedestrians in non-organized areas. This is a completely different challenge, since we don't need to program any specific behavior regarding traffic interaction, but the risks we take are higher.
Okay, I see. Can you please explain what is the sensor architecture of this platform and the purpose of those?
Well, currently we are in a stage where we are willing to introduce modification in the sensor architecture, since the cost is one of the most problematic aspects. We want to develop a product suitable for commercial production. In fact, we are trying to reduce the overall cost of the prototype using less and more mainstream sensors. For example, currently we use three laser rangefinders from a very well-known brand, which combined cost more than the actual golf car. Going into more detail, the current set of sensors includes optical encoders for reading the position of the steering wheels and the rear wheels in a dead reckoning fashion. Three planar laser rangefinders to obtain a 360 degrees overlap of the area around vehicle for both localization and dynamic navigation tasks. An AIMU for aiding during the localization process. A Kinect 2 sensors facing forward for detecting frontal obstacles. And sometimes a GPS, which we try to not use often. This last sensor, in particular, is obviously one of the most prone to errors, but we are able to avoid using it most of the time. These are the main sensors which currently enable the autonomous mode of Verdino. But we also have used a stereo camera rig for pedestrian detection.
That's interesting. Well, what should be the potential users of these kind of vehicles? Elderly or disabled people? Who?
Exactly. But our project wouldn't be limited to those. It could also transport tourists around areas of scenic interest, guiding them, for instance, to specific buildings and monuments. Or it could be used as transportation in cities with pedestrian areas. But at any rate, yes, the main goal of our robot is to transport people with certain disabilities such as visual impairment or reduced mobility.
Mm-hmm. Professor Gwen, we are talking about autonomous mobility in unstructured areas. I think there are goods and bads in that scenario. I mean, since the speed of the prototype doesn't have to be as high as for conventional road vehicles, the risk of resulting harm if something goes wrong may be smaller, right? But on the other hand, Berlin is supposed to coexist with pedestrians, I mean, to share space with them without any right of way. I guess that's challenging, right?
Indeed, the speed of the vehicle is important to ensure safety during maneuvers while driving through pedestrians. By now, Berdino has been tested driving at most at 20 km per hour, but lowering its speed when facing unexpected obstacles or some maneuvers like turning or entering narrow areas, which is made dynamically. All in all, this is one of the challenges we face when we decide to apply this technology to urban areas, to create a system able to navigate in areas shared with pedestrian and other unexpected obstacles. Obviously, it would be easier to just stop the vehicle if it detects something dangerous while doing a maneuver. But we wanted to accept the challenge of adding some intelligence on the vehicle. As you have said, there are some important differences with other prototypes, like a lower risk for the other users or pedestrians, and the added difficulty of not knowing from where the obstacle could appear. For us, the most important thing is to ensure that the behavior of the robot is natural, in the sense that it must not be seen as a danger or threat to other pedestrians.
Very well. Well, we now need to make a very short break. We'll be back soon in a few minutes. Please stay tuned. Hi there. Are you a usual listener of this show? Maybe you will like this. We are launching a YouTube channel where you will be able to subscribe to our show if you want. You can find the channel link in this issue post at itsp.ciceai.com. So help us by subscribing, liking, or sharing our episodes. Thanks, let's now get back to our today's interview. Okay, we're back with our guest today, Professor Acosta from University of La Laguna in Spain. Professor, your prototype is based on an electric-powered vehicle, that kind of little vehicles used to move around in golf carts. You know, in our field, we are right in the middle of a very strong movement towards transportation electrification. So how important do you think it is now electric propulsion? Do you foresee a future without any fuel in transportation, or will we see more and more hybrid power solutions? What's your opinion on this?
In my opinion, ground vehicles for human transportation are clearly going towards the use of electrical vehicles. This kind of vehicles have reached a very high degree of maturity to be considered a reliable alternative to classic transportations. The last examples of the maturity of the electrical technology are the vehicles of Tesla Motors.
Okay, thanks. Professor, there has been heard voices talking about something unexpected in the field. They're talking about automated driving to be more congestion-prone than human drivers. Since intelligent vehicles tend right now to be quite more conservative, more prudent than us humans when taking a decision on the roads. I believe this may be just a transient period because of us engineers fearing to death our prototypes to cause any accidents, seriously damaging the public's image of this kind of new technologies. What do you think? Will we engineers gradually tighten the error margin until our automated transportation vehicles became clearly more efficient than humans, keeping, of course, the safety standard on top?
I think it's going to be like that. At first, some prototypes will be built using strategies too conservative, since the key factor for these technologies to be accepted is their reliability and their safety. Any kind of accident which involves an autonomous vehicle will give a very bad reputation for intelligent vehicles, and serious accidents involving death would be fatal for these technologies. If we overcome this and minimize any kind of possible accident, I guess we will be able to design more reliable systems.
Mm-hmm. Professor, your group does this kind of demonstration frequently. When you put these prototypes in the streets, what is the perception on general public acceptance of this technology? Does people fancy or fear these innovations? Do you think it will become a big cultural change to accept all automated mobility one day in the near future?
Is it not a surprise that, in general, older people are more reluctant to change like this kind of technology would suppose? On the other hand, younger people are more enthusiastic for trying and accepting new things. They don't have any problem to get used to any technological change, even if it supposes a drastically new scenario. We have seen this in later years, with all revolutionary technologies that have been introduced, for example, in telecommunication and human-to-human interaction. The advent of the autonomous vehicle will suppose a shock so unpredictable that a deep cultural change will be needed.
Professor Acosta, from my perspective, I think that robotics and computer vision has done its work regarding autonomous driving, and now it is the turn for other disciplines to advance the frontier, like human factors or communications. I mean, I'm not saying robotics will not be playing an important role in all the intelligent vehicles development, but don't you agree that now it seems to be in a position of maturity?
I also think the most important disciplines that will influence the final advent of autonomous vehicles is going to be robotics and perception. Not especially by theoretical advance, but mainly by achieving the implementation of such technologies. That's why I think is of capital importance to advance further in that direction, trying to implement those new technologies which are appearing not only efficiently, but also ensuring the robustness at a hardware level and software level. Well, I guess that's because I cannot stop thinking as an engineer.
Okay, I'm aware your team is now extending the Verdino concept to other applications. Do you want to comment on that or any other big challenges your team is involved on? What can you tell us?
Of course, it's not a secret, and we would like to involve more collaborators from other groups and institutions. We have taken the challenge of adapting the concept we have developed in Verdino to a wheelchair. It's nothing new, but our intention is to develop something which would be able to mature into an affordable final product that can benefit as much people as possible. For this, we would need to adapt not only the technology we have used for navigation through dynamics environment, but also to introduce ways of interactions between the user and the wheelchair. That means we will need to think in the user as part of the control loop, more than we have made before in Verdino. Safety would be even more important in this scenario, since the user of the wheelchair is more exposed than in a golf cart or other big vehicles.
Very well. Okay, Professor, thank you very much for your participation. Goodbye. Okay, now we have to finish this issue. Thanks for listening. Please send us your comments and we'll be happy to reply them. And please have the happiest possible 2016. Thanks. This podcast is sponsored by the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, website designed and managed by the Innovation Center for the Information Society at the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria in Spain. Soundtrack developed by Rubicon, audio edition, post-production and dissemination by the Institute of Cybernetics at the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria. I'm Javier Sánchez Medina from the IEEE ITS Society. We'll be back soon bringing you again the cutting edge of science at the Intelligent Transportation Systems podcast. Thanks for listening and drive safe.